Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Caregiver Speak, the first online show for caregivers. We're a support group created by and for caregivers and sponsored by eCareDiary.com. I'm Marjorie Pabst, your host. I'm the co-author of Enrich Your Caregiving Journey and the author of a recent book called Words of Care. And you can access these books on Amazon or at my website, www.pivotalcrossings.com, or on ecarediary.com. The purpose of our show is to deal with issues in caregivers' space and to hear from real caregivers who deal with these issues or have dealt with issues in the past. Today, the caregiver panel, composed of Mary, Alexa, Sue, and Mary Frances, will discuss their personal learning and journeys and describe for us about what they've learned about themselves while caregiving. You know, we often ask, well, what can we do for others? What's the role of caregiving? Where are the resources? But we rarely think about, well, what did I learn and how has this enriched my life? So today we're going to hear from these four terrific women. We encourage all of you listeners and caregivers out there to do the same. Because we believe that, examining your learnings, reflecting upon your role as a caregiver will really enrich your life and perhaps the lives of those around you. So, welcome, caregivers.
Thank you.
Hi.
Thank you.
Alexa, would you begin with your thoughts about your personal learnings around caregiving?
I would say probably the biggest one that stands out for me is that I had to learn how to let go, that I don't control really anything other than my thoughts, and that my thoughts shape my attitude, and my attitude shapes my actions. And it's really important to have a good attitude as a caregiver, because lots of things are thrown your way, and your attitude about it is going to determine how you handle the situation and how you deal with your family and your friends and the medical professionals that are working with you and caring for your loved one. So that, I would say, would be the biggest thing that I've learned about myself.
That is so interesting. How would you describe that attitude? Is it like totally positive or realistic? Or how would you describe the type of attitude you think is best for moving forward with your loved one and, like you say, with all of the providers and doctors and so on?
Sure. It's definitely realism that's entrenched in optimism, because I've always been a pretty optimist person. I'm a pretty happy person. And, you know, being a caregiver is a very stressful role. And you have to accept the reality of the situation, but you don't have to look at it from a negative place. And it makes such a big difference in how you handle the stress of being a caregiver if you can really learn to take each situation as they come, look at them, you know, for what they are, and then move forward and do what needs to be done, but do it with, a mindset of, these are the cards that I'm dealt and I'm going to make the best of it.
Yeah, right. So is part of letting go sort of this whole thing, we've heard it before, the cliche of living in the moment, is that part, one of the tools you use? Or just how do you kind of let go and, as you say, let your thoughts and your attitude lead you to the next challenge?
It's definitely living in the moment. It's what I like to call presencing. It's the present, but as a verb.
Mm-hmm.
And just taking each moment and each situation, each day, each hour, each minute in the moment,
yeah.
And not getting too far ahead with the what-ifs, because the what-ifs are really what can drive you crazy.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. Great. Well, Mary Frances,
yes.
How about you? I mean,
Well, I think one of the things I learned is that I was stronger both physically and mentally than I thought possible. I mean, physically, you know, there's a lot of, my husband was at home with Alzheimer's and a stroke, so it was a lot of physical work. And, you know, mentally, making lists and keeping track of everything. And this all started with my husband's, as me being his caregiver, 11 years before his death. And it was a long journey, and you just watch them kind of lose abilities every day. And I found I had to be his advocate with the medical profession. I had to speak up. I had to become the mama bear, you know, and protect mm-hmm. him from some ridiculous surgeries and tests and over medications and procedures. And thank God, at one point, pretty soon into this disease, I said, let's take care of all the healthcare proxy and power of attorney. And you know, I carried them in the car with me. And yes. when he had a brain hemorrhage, I didn't have to run around and look for that paperwork, and I was able to refuse a brain surgery on an Alzheimer's patient. I mean, as I say, ridiculous things that they want to do to them, and, you know, mm-hmm. those kind of things. So you find you have, as being an advocate, you find you either are able to do this or they're going to wind up in a nursing home somewhere as forgotten. And I found that that was something.
So you really discovered some strengths you didn't know you had.
I've always been a pretty strong person, but this was above and beyond, you know. He had a long journey, and it's a difficult one to watch, as anybody that's dealt with Alzheimer's will know. They lose things every day. With a mom with a child, you have one kind of patience, but they're learning, and you can see it. Mm-hmm. And in this case, they're losing things every day, and it's the same questions of, where are my keys? Where are my glasses? Why can't I drive? You know, you don't know where you're going, you know, those kind of things.
Yes.
So it's a new kind of patience, too.
It is. It is. And, you know, I think particularly with Alzheimer's, the power to anticipate, as you say, you know, what's coming up, because you know that your care partner is losing the ability to anticipate and to plan and think forward.
Yeah, and that a different kind of patience and a different kind of love and understanding.
Sure.
You know, you realize this is not the person, in my case, 51 years of marriage. This was not the person I had married, and it just changes everything. But, you know, again, you deal with it.
Yes, indeed. And day you have, day. And are enriched for it. I think we all are.
Oh, yes. Oh, definitely. Yes, definitely. Exactly. It's created a different person.
Yes. Well, our other Mary on our panel, how about you?
Well, I appreciate so much what Melissa and Mary Frances have said, and certainly I've experienced and felt those same things as well. One of the things that I discovered, I'm a very independent person and able to do things for myself. And so accepting help from other people maybe is not the first avenue for me. But I learned how to accept help from other people. And people really do step up to offer their support and their help. Many times people don't know exactly what to do in a situation like we've all faced, but they want to be there and they want to help. And I guess the most helpful thing to me in sort of making that transition was when a group of friends offered to actually clean my yard for me. And I thought, well, gee, I don't need somebody to do that. I can have that taken care of, and we're really okay here. And my wise daughter said, but Mom, they really want to help. This is going to make them feel like they're helping you in this situation. And so I took her advice and had them come. And it was a wonderful day that we had. Everyone else in my neighborhood, of course, wanted to see if perhaps they could hire this crew to come to their house, which, of course, they couldn't. but it was a way for me to learn to accept help. And then it kind of emboldened me in a certain way, because I learned that I could ask for help when I needed it as well. And so So I was more able to ask for help. And one of the things that I really felt that we needed was to have positive people around to share our positive, optimistic view, such as Melixa was talking about. And so it allowed me to actually call some of my most positive friends and say, why don't you come over and just hang out with us on Thursday night, and we're just going to have a fun time. And so we did. It was nothing, but yet it was so important to have that opportunity to have or help us and to, in exchange, kind of give something back to them as well. So I think that's maybe one of the key things that I learned.
Those are both really interesting, Mary. And, you know, the one about your daughter making the suggestion, I think sometimes our care partners are our caregivers. You know, they are suggesting to us, leading the way as to providing us with the care that we need as caregivers. And so I find your story to be fascinating and found that that happened with my husband as well, who would be caring for me as I was caring for him.
I think that is very, very true, that our loved ones can reach out to help us as well. So, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm going to come back to that positive, having positive people around, but I want to move to Sue. Sue, how about you?
Well, that I was very surprised about, I wasn't quite, I hear people in the background, I wasn't quite sure about support groups, you know, I wasn't sure I wanted to become part of one, and it was amazing to me the amount of support that we got throughout the year. Or the years. Also, the family dynamics. You know, anytime people's families get together, there's kind of a pecking order of who takes over, who does this, who does that. I was surprised that my one daughter, who's an executive in a major company, was so in denial till the 3 weeks before he passed away. When she actually talked to, someone at the hospice center, and they finally got her to understand that, you know, the end was near. The one son cried uncontrollably, you know, lots and lots of times, although he was the most helpful. He still was the most emotional. So the family dynamics that came out was certainly something I hadn't expected. And I quite honestly hadn't expected to be jealous of couples that were out having fun together. You know, the green-eyed monster just all of a sudden would leap up, and I would think, where did that come from? And
that is
so
interesting.
It was a bit of a surprise.
Yeah. You really hit a chord in me just now, Sue, because even after my husband's death, I felt that jealousy rearing its ugly head in me about, well, why, you know, do other people get to be with their loved ones whole and happy? And so I can really relate to what you're saying. And it's a learning, for sure, with all of us. On the family dynamics piece, have you got any tools or tips for our listeners on, as to, you learned that the complexity of all of that, what were some things that you figured out that would sort of keep family cool and calm during this time? I know you're
That's assuming everybody was cool and calm. you know, we had a very special relationship, and there was, you know, so many moments of joy. And in fact, we read, I gave all the children the book, Creating Moments of Joy. And so there were opportunities to do that, to have happy moments, and that we would remember and make those happy memories. So that was one of them. And we were open and honest with the kids and the friends and what have you. I was surprised there were a couple of friends that said, you know, this is getting too tough for me. I'd rather remember him like he was. I'll see you when this is over. And that was a little bit of a shocker, but you kind of have to let people do what they're able.
Yes.
And,
yes.
You know, you can't force them to be in your space, in your situation.
Yeah. Wow, that is quite a learning to know that, you know, the four of you are really strong women, and we all have our different capacities, and to acknowledge, Sue, as you've just done, that there are folks out there that just, at this point in their lives at least, just aren't into having the capacity to hang in there with you through the whole thing. That's quite an observation and learning, so thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Well, now let's just make this more of a free for all. I'd love to have you all just respond to comments that each of you has made to one another. We just open up the conversation. So,
one of the things that we did discuss, several of my friends who were going through the same thing was the medical issues that you learn to deal with. That can get a little yucky, can get a little hard to do, and you think, oh my gosh. Dealing with the baby is one thing. Dealing with an adult person that you have shared your life with is quite another thing. And and maintaining their dignity while you're having to change soiled underpants and wipe the dribble and different things. As you said, we're very strong women, all of us on this call. And there are those that are not. There are those that just don't have the capacity to deal with that.
Others comments to anybody?
Well, I agree with Sue on that, the physical end of it, and that's what I was saying before. Having that strength to physically do this, not everybody is capable of doing that. And I found that a sense of humor, I had a caregiver who had a wonderful sense of humor, and we would even get my husband laughing about some of this while we were changing him and while we were dressing him, or even in the shower. My husband had always loved singing in the shower, so we decided to sing some of his old, Singing in the Rain. That was one of his favorites. And we would always start in singing in the shower. I mean, we just tried to make it light so that he didn't realize that we were washing him up. I think a sense of humor. I think you really, if you can have that and deal with some of these situations, it really helps both of you. I have high blood pressure, so it certainly helped me to laugh about some of the situations.
Well, Mary Frances, it sounds like what the other Mary was saying about having the positive people around. You did exactly the same thing. Your Singing in the Rain example. I love that because, it's a way of bringing the arts, things like reading and poetry and music into the situation can often add to the humor, can add to the lightheartedness, to remember a song that is apropos to the challenging situation that you're in, is a terrific reminder to all of us.
Well, with Alzheimer's, one of the things they have found is music is the last thing that goes. So my caregiver and I made tapes from the internet of 40s and 50s, 60s music and played it all day long. Didn't have to be loud, but we would find my husband singing along with some of them.
Yeah.
And music just seems to hold the words to songs and so forth, seems to hold in the brain longer than anything else. So
yeah.
it kept
yeah.
us, you know, we would laugh when we'd hear him singing, and it just was such
yeah.
a beautiful thing.
That's terrific.
One
That's
of the things that we found, too, is that the inhibitions often go with the disease.
Yes.
And he would sing out loudly, at very inappropriate times. And we took him to an event at the Art Museum. It was at Christmas time, and they had an Oompa band. And he just jumped right up and danced around the art museum, which was wonderful.
Love it.
But it wasn't something he would have done had he not had Alzheimer's.
Mm. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That's
well,
talking about the Sue was talking about she was kind of jealous of the couples who were out together. You know, I think that maybe is kind of a universal reaction, because when my daughter died, I would look at young girls her age and think, oh my gosh, I never wished something that wasn't real. But when I saw them, I thought, oh my gosh, they have their whole lives ahead of them. I want them to grow and do well. But it can be difficult to see that and feel the loss that you've experienced.
Oh, I also had that with a child. I lost a son at 36, and I would see young men and families, and I'd say, he never got to have that, you know, and he died of a heart attack, so
yeah.
It was sudden. And so I understand that green-eyed monster, definitely, with
Absolutely.
My husband and with my son. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think all of you out there, you know, one of our sort of learnings today is that jealousy, or whatever we want to call it, is a kind of a universal emotion, can be with caregivers. And so I hope all of you listening will think, well, gosh, this confirms that I'm not alone, that I'm not a bad person if I feel this way, that somehow we all do have these feelings. And to acknowledge them, I think, is really healthy and in terms of bringing us forward. So, well, I want
to... You know, another thing, when I'm back to Melixa's first comment where she was
yes.
talking about the negative feelings and my own feelings about being surrounded by positive people. And I would guess that maybe some of the other caregivers have experienced this too. Sometimes when people are trying to interact with the caregivers, they might become kind of, I'm not going to say negative, but they are so sort of shocked by the situation or taken aback by the situation that the caregiver often feels like they have to comfort the comforters. And
yeah.
so how to comfort the comforters without pulling yourself and the situation down into a negative place, I think is something that we probably need to practice, because I think that too much, oh, poor you, oh, this is awful, can be such a dampening thing that maybe has a longer lasting effect. And so how to turn that around so that the comforter is comforted and that you can move back to that positive plane together, bringing that comforter with you. Has anybody had that kind of experience?
That is an amazing comment. Go ahead, Sue.
One of the things that we always looked ahead and we always tried to provide for, you know, any event and what have you. But when my husband was first diagnosed, he immediately went and signed up for the Brain Bank, which meant that he also had to make his final plans. And I cannot tell you how much that helped, that he had picked out the readings he wanted, he had picked out the songs he wanted, he had picked out, the receptacle that he wanted, so that we didn't have to have a family discussion. It was already done. But you also, you know, there's that kind of thought in the back of your mind, I wonder what people would say about me when I'm gone. And the eulogy was, you know, it was such an affirmation of our life together and what our children thought of us and the admiration they had for the life we had lived together, that I was just totally taken back by it. And
you know, you guys, Mary and Sue, you have hit upon something I think we could talk about, this particular subject, turning around, you know, the sadness and making it an enrichment for those comforting us and for our loved ones going forward. And your example, Sue, about even at the funeral, when you get to the funeral, it's an affirmation. And how do we do that to turn the situation around? I think we could easily talk about this on another Caregiver Speak show and really look at this topic in more depth. So thank you for bringing that up. This is terrific. Does anybody have like another minute or two, and then I'm going to have to close this out today. The 30 minutes have gone by very quickly. Anyone on our panel want to say any last thought?
I was just going to add one thing, and this is Melissa. I also had to learn, I think we were saying, or someone mentioned before, that we're all very strong women, and I'm a very take charge of the situation kind of a person, and I had to learn to step back and involve my siblings and my mom in the decision-making process, you know, because it's very easy for me to want to just make things happen. And so it's important to involve the person you're caring for when they can be involved. In my situation, my mom can be involved. And not just take on everything on your own. You know, use the resources that you have and the support systems that you have.
Yes, thank you. So our strengths, ladies, can turn against us if we're not careful. And I think that's a terrific learning as well from today's show. Well, thank you all. I would encourage our listeners to lodge some of their learnings, to go on social media or on ecarediary.com and lodge some of your comments. I've written an April blog for my website as well as Ecare Diary on my personal learnings, and so I'd encourage you to look for that on our website. And ladies, the conversation will continue, and thank you all again.
And thank you, Marjorie, for giving us the opportunity to reflect on this because, you know, in the day-to-day caregiving, we forget all we're learning and getting back from these experiences.
Yeah, that is such an important point. Thank you for reminding me to encourage our listeners to reflect on their key learnings. I think the more you look back, you realize, my gosh, I've taken this incredible journey, and I have become a stronger person. I become more enriched. I have more to share with others. And so thank you for reminding me to remind our viewers of that very point. Okay, everybody take care. Thank you, listeners and caregiver panel.
Thank you all.
Bye.
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 Bye-bye.
Bye.